And I think it will appear. Oh, there we go. You know, when you're new to a church, you don't quite know all the ins and outs, but it's behind me as well. So there we are. A psalm of the sons of Korah, for the director of music, according to the Mahalethanon, a Maskal of Heman Ezrahite. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like one without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You've put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You've taken from me my closest friends and made me repulsive to them. I'm confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do the spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I've suffered and been close to death. I've borne your terrors and I'm in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You've taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. And let us pray together as we look at God. Let me introduce you to Will. Will was born roughly near London, Berkhamsted. But tragedy struck him very young. His mother died when he was 6 years old. And subsequently, his father sent him to boarding school. At the age of 18, he began training to be a solicitor, but his heart wasn't in it. And so 3 years later, Will sank into depression. He recovered to a certain extent, only to be hit once again by a complete mental breakdown at the age of 32. He tried three different ways to commit suicide and eventually was put into hospital. But it was there in hospital where Will met a Christian doctor who read the Bible and prayed with Will. And at that point, Will became a Christian and the follower of the Lord Jesus. However, his conversion to Christianity didn't make him immune to depression. He suffered two more periods of dark depression after becoming a Christian. And unfortunately, humanly speaking, there didn't seem to be a happy ending for Will. During his fourth and final bout of depression, he told his doctor, "I feel unutterable despair." A month later, Will died at the age of 68. And, you know, the fact that darkness seemed to have the final words in Will's life just raises all sorts of questions with us, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. You know, where was God in Will's life? You know, sometimes we think, oh, we become a Christian and everything after that will be brilliant and okay, but it's not the case. It wasn't the case for Will. Had God abandoned Will? As a Christian, how was Will meant to respond to this deep darkness when there was no happily ever after for him? And for some of us here this evening, or maybe, you know, watching online, these questions are live questions because we are living through darkness, maybe deep darkness that will not lift. This darkness may be caused by depression, but it may not be caused by depression. There's other things in life that make the darkness descend on us. It could be the darkness of bereavement as you grieve the loss of a loved one, and that never goes away. It could be the darkness of long-term ill health that day by day just grinds you down. Or it could be something else. So how do we respond as Christians when the darkness will not lift. None of us will be not all of us will be experiencing deep darkness in our lives. However, we may know someone who is. Maybe you're not particularly feeling in the dark, in the valley, but you might know someone who is. And perhaps the best way you can listen to this sermon, read this psalm, Psalm 88, is to think about it with the lens of how can I use Psalm 88 to support the person I love, to pray for the person I love. Or you may be listening to this sermon and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. If that's the case, we're really glad that you're here. And it's an opportunity for you to hear the hope we have as Christians, even through the dark times. It may be a bit of a corrective as well. If you think becoming a Christian means that life becomes completely and utterly easy, then that's not the case. There may be a helpful corrective to that. But the hope that we have as Christians, if you are looking into the Christian faith, is a hope that can be your hope if you come and trust the Lord Jesus. So how should Christians respond when the darkness will not lift? Well, first, we're to recognize that true believers experience deep darkness. True believers experience deep darkness. Psalm 88 was written by a man, the Old Testament people of God. If you look at the title of the psalm, his name is He-Man. We don't know very much about him. There's some guesses to who he was. There's a few other He-Mans in the Old Testament. There's not quite sure who he is. What we do know is what is written in this psalm and that he experienced a lifetime of deep darkness. Take a look at verse 3. I am overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I wonder, have you ever felt that your troubles are so heavy that they just weigh you down? You wake up in the morning and you feel that weight descend on you. That's how He-Man felt. His many troubles were overwhelming and the weight of them were crushing all the strength out of his body. He-Man may be still alive, but only just, verse 5. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. I mean, you can almost see He-Man lying face down on the road in the dirt, and a couple of people come along and say, well, what do we do with He-Man? And the other one replies, well, he's on his way out. Let's just throw him in the graveyard with the other dead bodies. He's that close to death. He's in a terrible state. And the question that arises in our minds is why? Why is He-Man in such a dreadful position? Is it a bad life choices? Is it a series of unfortunate events? What is it? And He-Man doesn't keep us guessing. He tells us why his troubles are overwhelming and crushing him to death. And what he says may be a surprise to many of us, verse 6. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. He-Man turns to the Lord God and says, it's you who've done this. In your sovereignty, where God is in control over those things that are good, but also those things which aren't, he says that you, the Lord God, has put him there. You can see that in verse 7. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. He-Man felt completely abandoned by God. He felt as if God was angry with him and his anger was just overwhelming him. He felt that he had been abandoned, completely God-forsaken. That's what he felt like. The author of the Narnia book, C.S. Lewis, lost his wife to cancer after 3 short years of marriage, and he was plunged into the darkness of grief. And he wrote about it in a book, and this is what he said about the initial stages of that darkness. This is early on in his experience. This is what he said. But go to God when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face, and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. And after that, silence. And so in his deepest darkness, C.S. Lewis had felt that God had shut the door on him and abandoned him. And that was what He-Man was feeling. The door slammed in his face, bolted and double bolted on the inside. And after that, heaven was silent. And if you're going through darkness, then that is maybe what you feel, that your prayers maybe hit the ceiling and that's it. It doesn't go any further. But you would think that He-Man's friends would rally around him, wouldn't you? At the time of his desperate need, they would come and help him. But He-Man's suffering drove away his nearest and dearest. Verse 8, "You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape." And so in verses 10 to 12, He-Man asks the Lord God four questions. And he, at the end of each question, he expects the answer to be no. "Do you show your wonders to the dead?" No. "Do their spirits rise up and praise you?" No. "Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction?" No. "Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion?" No. And what He-Man is saying is this: if I die and go down to the dead, then I cannot praise you. I cannot declare your love or faithfulness. Well then, Lord, save me. I want to do those things. They're not going to happen if you reject me. Save me. And the heartbreaking discovery that we make in verses 15 to 18 is that this isn't a season of darkness later in He-Man's life. It's been a recurring pattern. Verse 15, "From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I've borne your terrors and I'm in despair." And He-Man says that the darkness he experiences is like drowning. Have you ever had that experience of maybe sinking to the bottom of the pool and just the water's closing in on you? It's a bit scary, isn't it? He feels it's like that. Verse 16, "Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me." We all want there to be a happy ending for He-Man, don't we? But there doesn't seem to be any. And that seems to be what's unique about Psalm 88. All the other Psalms of Lament we're looking at, the four in the series, seem to resolve with hope at the end, with a bit of an uptick, a bit of hope there at the end. But Psalm 88 doesn't. The darkness does not lift in Psalm 88. Verse 18, "You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend." In the original, I'm not a massive Hebrew scholar, just read this in books, but in the original language, the very last word of the psalm is actually darkness. Quite literally, darkness has the final word in Psalm 88. So if we are going through deep darkness at the moment, then you may not have found the other Psalms of Lament as helpful as they perhaps meant to be, because they seem to end on a note of hope. And that discourages you because you feel that there's no hope. You feel exactly like He-Man felt in this passage. If that is you, then perhaps Psalm 88 is the psalm written for you. As we read about the darkness and despair of He-Man's prayerful song, we cannot help but think of another man who lived after He-Man. He was a man of sorrows who was acquainted with the deepest of grief. My mind, as I was preparing this, our minds are drawn to the Lord Jesus. And there's no record in the Gospels of Jesus singing this psalm, but this was the songbook that he would have known. And it probably could not have been far from his mind and heart as he willingly headed to the cross to take the punishment for our sins. So as I've read and thought about Psalm 88, it's given me a fresh perspective of what Jesus went through on the cross. Now I'm going to reread some of the verses of Psalm 88 to you now and try to place them in the context of Jesus' trial and execution. These perhaps words were coming to his mind. This is his song primarily. "I'm overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. You've taken from me my closest friends and made me repulsive to them. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me." And this psalm poetically describes what happened to Jesus at Easter, that very first Easter, as his life drew near to an end. His disciples abandoned him. On the cross, God the Father, his anger against sin swept over Jesus like a flood. He was engulfed, and he was forsaken, and he was abandoned. This may have been written by He-Man, but ultimately, the truest singer is the Lord Jesus on the cross and in his trial. And if we're Christians here this evening, then we are in the Lord Jesus. We belong to the Lord Jesus. And as Jesus sings this song, we can use our voices and to join with his voice in singing this to him in our darkness. And singing and praying this song with the Lord Jesus is a reminder, which we all need, that true believers experience deep darkness. You know, deep darkness doesn't automatically mean that God has abandoned us. This is how an American writer put it. Not all of life's scripts have happy endings, but that does not mean that the Lord has forsaken us. Let me say that again. Not all of life's scripts have happy endings, but that does not mean that the Lord has forsaken us. If you're going through deep darkness at the moment as a Christian, then Psalm 88 reassures you, or should reassure you, that your experience, like He-Man's experience, doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. Rather, on the cross, God the Father abandoned the Lord Jesus because he took on our sins. And Jesus was forsaken by God the Father so that ultimately we are never truly forsaken. So recognize that true believers experience deep darkness. And second, trust that darkness isn't the final word for believers. Trust that darkness is not the final word for believers. Darkness seemed to have the final word in Psalm 88. It appears to be a psalm without hope, and yet there are faint just glimmers of hope within the psalm. Blink and you miss them. Even though He-Man is in deep darkness, he still cries out to the Lord, God, in prayer. Take a look at verse 1. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. And He-Man describes the Lord as the God who saves him. You know, He-Man might be going through the depths of despair, but he still knows that the Lord God is able to save him. And so even in the darkness, He-Man cries out to the Lord God in prayer. And this prayer isn't a one-off. Day and night he cries out to the Lord God. It's constant. And one way a true believer reacts to times of deep darkness is by continually crying out to their Heavenly Father. Maybe that's something that comes within time, but that's what true believers do. They cry out saying, save me, help me in this time. Keep me persevering, keep me going, keep me trusting in the Lord Jesus. Also notice how He-Man addresses God in verse 1. He addresses him as Lord. So whenever you see the word Lord in capital letters, it's the Jewish way of referring to God's name, Yahweh. And Lord or Yahweh is the name which emphasizes God's commitment, his covenantal commitment to his people. So when He-Man addresses God as Lord, he's saying, Lord, you made a commitment to love and to save your people. Remember that commitment, Lord. Save me. I'm part of your people. It's like a wife waving the marriage certificate under a husband's nose and saying, remember the commitments that you made to me on the wedding day. Honor them. It's that kind of sense that what's going on. And verses 1 and 2 give a brief glimmer of hope for He-Man. But at the end of Psalm 88, He-Man is left in the darkness. But the shape of the gospel doesn't end in darkness, does it? And we know that. We need to look to the rest of the Bible to see the shape of the gospel. And the gospel shape is like the Nike swoosh. You know, down first and then up. Other brand of trainers are available, but the Nike swoosh, down first and then up. The Nike swoosh is down and then up. That's the gospel shape. And we see the gospel shape in the life of the Lord Jesus. Jesus went down first as he went to the cross to pay for our sins, abandoned by God, And then as darkness seemed to reign, he rose again from the dead on the third day and went up, down first, and then up. And so the gospel shape is the same for He-Man. He went down first, and as He-Man reached the lowest point of the swoosh, he wrote Psalm 88. But darkness, because He-Man is a believer in the Lord God, would not have the last word. The gospel shape means that He-Man would go up. And the wonderful thing about the Nike swoosh shape of the gospel is that it means that darkness is never the final word for believers. It's never the final word for believers. And so for those of you who are going through a time of deep darkness, it feels never-ending, doesn't it? Feels like, oh, not again. This is just a constant. I can't do it. But take heart. The swoosh upwards is coming. The swoosh upwards is coming. You may not see it in your lifetime. Let's be realistic about that. That might not happen. But it will come when either you die and go to be with God the Father or the Lord Jesus returns. And one way you can hold on to the gospel shape is by taking Psalm 88 and using it as your own prayer. Look, as Christians, we're not great at expressing ourselves when life gets dark. I guess that's one of the reasons why you're doing the Psalms of Lament. When life gets dark, we don't have any language, we don't have any songs to a certain extent to express that. And that's exactly the reason that God included Psalms of Lament in the Psalms. He put them there to give us God-endorsed ways of expressing our despair in a godly way. I don't know about you, sometimes when the US presidential election comes along, the two candidates run ads that try and get people to vote for them, and they sort of pre-record these little clips before an advert. They say, I'm so-and-so, I'm Joe Biden, and I endorse this message. And then the advert comes later on. Before every psalm of a lament, and particularly before Psalm 88, our Heavenly Father says to us, I am your Heavenly Father, and I endorse this psalm. Sing it to me in the darkness. Pray it to me in the darkness. Our Heavenly Father included Psalm 88 in the Bible to give us permission to use it, to give us the language to use that could be godly, to use when we are in deep darkness. So if you are going through a period of darkness as a Christian, one response to this sermon could be that you take Psalm 88 and use it as a prayer for yourself. It could maybe you just don't feel able to pray, or maybe to make up prayers. Well, why not just read through Psalm 88 and pray it for yourself? If you're someone who is supporting a loved one, you're not in that deep darkness, but you're supporting a loved one through a time of darkness, then you can remind them, and this is really precious, you can remind them that this darkness is not the end. You can remind them of the gospel shape of the Nike swoosh, down first and then up. And this is a really important thing, because the Christian going through dark times might not be able to remember that themselves. And if they cannot pray, or if they find it difficult to pray, which is probably quite likely, then why not pray Psalm 88 with them and for them? Look, if you're looking into Christianity, then Psalm 88 is a reminder that we're not guaranteed a happily ever after, no matter what the Hollywood films say. Life can turn from light to darkness in an instant. We only have to think back to March 2020. That's a date that's blazing into our memories. In March 2020 and the start of the coronavirus, to see that it just turned just like that, didn't it? Our world changed overnight. And so who or what are you going to look to or turn to when your life gets dark? Whatever you're hoping in, how does it compare to the hope that Christians have in the Lord Jesus? So trust that the darkness isn't the final word for believers. So right at the beginning, I spoke about a man called Will who suffered terribly from depression. Christian man. But some of you may have guessed, if you know your Christian biography, who I was talking about. It was that Will was the English poet and hymn writer William Cowper, who lived in the 1700s. And when he died, the darkness seemed to have the last word, but the gospel shape, the down first, the night swoosh, and then up, tells us that that isn't true. He may not have had a happily ever after ending in this life, but he is now. And about 26 years before his unhappy death, William Cowper wrote a hymn saying, entitled God Moves in a Mysterious Way. Here's one of the verses. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And so if you're going through dark times at the moment as a Christian, your life might have a very bitter taste. He-Man tasted that bitterness in Psalm 88. The Lord Jesus did too on the cross. But the gospel shape down first and then up means that the bitterness will turn into sweetness. There will be a happily ever after for those who trust in Jesus. So let's pray together as we encourage each other to believe that, to trust that, to live that out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for including Psalm 88 in the Bible. Thank you included a psalm where it seemed as though darkness had the last word, and there were no hint of hope. Thank you that you endorse it as a godly way we can express our pain to you in dark times. Sometimes when we're going through darkness, we struggle for the words and we wonder whether we were saying things that you find offensive. But thank you for Psalm 88. Would it become a precious psalm to many people here tonight who are going through deep darkness? And Father, we praise you that our desire for a happily ever after end to the story is met in and through that gospel shape of down first and then up. Thank you that the Lord Jesus trod that path before us. And we pray that our gentle and empathetic Savior would draw close to those who are treading that path now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.